呼吸。
Hello, this is Chris 200, and you're listening to Audio On Demand. $500 of GM product strapped to my ass. For a 20-foot friend, is always welcome.
Yeah, there's a possible wreck up ahead at the Gretna exit, which I believe is 432. Wow, what am I looking at? Wow, that's weird. Coming up on 27th Street exit, I decided to leave early today, well not actually early, but leave on time today from work, and wanted to seek out another music store, and of course they've gone by the wayside or gone out of business or whatever, but I wanted to check and see if they're there. They weren't, went out of business. So what I did is I cruised down O Street. And it's something I haven't done. Well, I guess I've been up and down O Street a few times. Oh, within the last year or so. But I haven't really had a chance to just actually kind of drive by and look and see what's going on. See what's changed. See what hasn't changed. Downtown Lincoln is it's on the edge of the University of Nebraska. Lincoln campus, city campus. And what goes good with college kids? Bars. There's a lot of bars along O Street. P&Q and M&N and whatever else there is. You know, O Street is kind of the main bar there. The Montego Bay, when I was going to school here, was open. And actually, since I got out of school there in Lincoln, it'd been torn down and something else had been rebuilt in there. I guess it was some sort of a burrito place, a burrito as big as your head or something like that. I guess they're pretty good. I never had a chance to go there. Across the street is a Brass Rail, and it doesn't look like it's changed in 40 years. Probably hasn't. Used to be a bar called Iguanas, and I don't know what else it was called, but they were all kind of connected together. I don't know if it looked like there was something still there, but I don't know if it was still called Iguanas. Then Duffy's is down the street a little bit, and back across on the other side of the street. I don't know what it's called. It was some sort of a nightclub / pool hall type place when I was going to school, and it looks like it's the same sort of thing, and it is still open. And then next to that is Yaya's Pizza. I haven't been there in, at least 3 years. Last time I went there, I took my wife there, and we had pizza. I don't think we were married at the time, so it's been, we've almost been married 5 years, so it's been a while. But it was still there. Sandy's at its new location there on, I guess, 14th and O. Sandy's used to be on kind of a side street, probably about 12th, between, on, I think, 12th or 11th, between O and P. And it moved over to 14th and 14th and O. I don't know if I was still going to school there when that moved. I believe that was a Twisters. I believe it did move. It was a Twisters record shop. Then across the street from it was a Homer's. And the Homer's has since gone away. There's a new place in there called Brothers. I don't know if that's a restaurant or what that is exactly. And then going down that side of the street, the other side of the street is some sort of office building. There is a bar in there called Woody's. I've never been in there. A sandwich shop and then an office building and I think maybe a restaurant on the end. But on the south, south side of the O Street there, O'Rourke's was still there. Main Street Cafe or City Street Cafe, a place that I'd never gone to before in the past. That actually, I should take that back. I've been in there once. It's been at least 5 years now. Let's see. It's been a while since I've been in there. I was in there on a Saturday afternoon during Rip Fest and drank a couple real tall beers in there. O'Rourke's was there too, and it looks like they've changed up their facade or changed up the front of the building there. One of the unique things about Lincoln is it's a smoke-free city. You can't smoke inside anywhere within the city now. Some people still smoke. There was a guy today at his machine smoking right next to the solvent and everything else, so I don't know what you're going to do. Not going to tell them to put it out. Not my job. But anyway, it looks like on the front of O'Rourke's, they opened up the front somehow. I don't know if they put some sort of a convertible roof in there or openable window or something, so you're actually outside, kind of. Not really a sidewalk cafe type of effect, but it's actually like the top of the window has been removed or something like that. So that was kind of neat. Let's see, what else is there? Like the watering hole is still there. There's a Walgreens. NBC Bank Building, which is now Wells Fargo. Still there. Big building there. Nebraska Diamonds in there. One of the bigger things that's different. There used to be kind of a junkie, kind of careful here, I'm passing a truck on a curb. There kind of used to be a junkie building there that had a nightclub in it. I can't remember exactly what it was called. But within the last couple of years, they tore that down and several other buildings around there. And I'm not quite sure how it all works. They tore down a theater too on the other side of the block. I don't know if there's a tunnel that goes underneath the alley or if the alley is closed and the building goes across the alley, but there's a huge theater complex down there now. I believe it's right across from the old Centrum Mall, or I think it's called Energy Plaza now. It's basically an old mall that I don't know how old it is, but when I started going to school there, there were still shops there. We're talking 93, 94 time frame. And now it's all been converted over to like a commuter college type of classrooms and things like that. It's kind of a college center. I don't know. It's really kind of hard to explain. There's several different colleges or universities in there. I shouldn't say so. I don't know if the University of Nebraska uses it. But places like Southeast Technical Vocational type schools use it. Bellevue University, Southeast, probably Hamilton College, those types of schools. So that's down there. And then, pretty much after that, I think it hasn't changed much. Knickerbockers, Sidetrack. And then you go over the overpass. The overpass has been there for forever, think. I don't know if they've ever rebuilt it. I remember when I was a small kid coming over that overpass, going into Lincoln. For whatever reason, my dad would always kind of go to the edge of downtown and then around downtown to one of my uncle's places. And kind of aggravated me. I always wanted to kind of see what was going on downtown, but it was one of those places that it just didn't go. But I learned once I went to school that, you know, that area really isn't that bad. And yeah, there's probably not as many things that have gone on in those places today as there was in the past, but still kind of a nice downtown area. Let's see, what else? Well, I continued west. That looked completely different. There were some buildings missing, I believe, and some newer buildings there. You know, there used to be a big car lot out there, and I don't recall seeing that. There was a new overpass there, and I'm wondering if that isn't the Burlington. There's a diesel shop or some sort of a maintenance yard there, I don't know what you call it, where they basically build trains, like a terminal type point there for trains, where it'll take the cars and shuffle them around and send them off on different trains. And anyway, there was an overpass there, and I'm wondering if that isn't where that car dealership used to be. All the car dealerships now in Lincoln are on North 27th. And everything's kind of been expanding on the outside of Lincoln. A lot of places look run down more towards the middle of town. I don't know if that's different than when I was going to school there. It seemed like a lot of different places were kind of run down. Some places are more run down than others. Today, I haven't really got a chance to go down to Near South. I really like to go down to Near South neighborhoods and see what that's all about today. That's where that's where me and my brother lived for a couple of years while we were going to school. South of the Capitol Building, probably south, from about K Street south to South Street, I guess. Slow down here. I got a van going slow in front of me. I don't know what that's all about. So anyway, that was kind of my little synopsis of what I saw going downtown Lincoln. Maybe someday I'll go through some of the other streets down there and see what else is going on. What else has been going on? Got some of my painting done last night I should back up. I don't know if I explained this yesterday or not, but went to Menards a couple nights ago and needed to return or exchange a can of paint, or primer. And it was water-based or latex-based, and I wanted to go with an oil-based. So I found the oil-based, and then I asked the paint guy there if he could tint it green, same green as my house. He said, well, I'll give it a shot. I said, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. This is just a primer coat. I just want to see if you can get it pretty close. So he gave it a shot, and he went ahead and mixed it, and it kind of came out gray. So he went back and dumped a little bit of a primer out of the can and said, well, I'll give it another shot of some green. We'll see what comes of that. So he went ahead and did that, and you know what? He came pretty close to just kind of eyeballing the amount of green that he put in there. So that was couple nights ago, last night, I basically put that stuff down from about 7 o'clock till 10 o'clock. And driving by, you probably wouldn't notice that the house has been primered. Kind of the bad part of the deal is I only used just a little bit of that gallon of primer. So I've got a almost a whole gallon full of green primer. What in the hell am I going to do with that? One of my thoughts was, I've got some windows to do, some window edges and things like that. Could always go through and primer those up, and then when I get my paints, I can go ahead and use paint those too while I'm, out painting and doing this thing. So I do have some use for it, but I don't think I'm going to use the whole damn gallon up. So kind of a waste, but if I would have bought a quart, I probably would have ran out. I don't think I used a quart, but usually how those things work. And if you buy a quart and had to go back and buy another quart, you would have been better off buying a gallon. It's just the way they price those things. There's one of these cars with the funny wheels on it. It's got the spinners on it. But honestly, it looks like they're spinning backwards. I would think those would vibrate or something a little bit. The front one's not barely moving. Back one's moving pretty good. It's on an old Impala or something. Older Impala or Malibu. Looks kind of silly. It was 420 exit. The legendary 420 exit with the 24-hour adult. I think I talked about that a few casts ago. Yeah, I got a balmy 93 today, it looks like. I've got the windows up. I'm putting on a pretty good sweat here, pretty good slathering. Trying to see if I can come up with a little bit of better audio quality using the Muvo today. I don't want to use the other device because I don't have enough memory. I'm halfway thinking about buying an iRiver. I saw them on special at Best Buy for like $69. I kind of hate to that I, knowing that I'd bought this Muvo, but I'd really like to have that audio input. Hell, if I could get my, low impedance mic in the car, I would use that to record. It would sound a lot better. Microphone that's roughly $100 instead of an internal mic or some cheap mic that the factory put on the device, I think would work a lot better. And even if I had to, I could go and get a different, I could get a quarter inch type or a high Z mic, high impedance mic. It would sound better than what the internal has. Kind of disappointed this device didn't have an input device or input an input. So, let's see what else has been going on. That's about it. I'm going to see if the wife wants to go out for dinner tonight. We haven't been out to dinner for a while. Did all the cooking this last weekend. I guess we did order in a few times. But I got out of working, so I didn't have time to cook. And I don't know, she just doesn't like to cook. Or probably go get some groceries, too. Got to do that. And I've been running swim on the old groceries there in the house. That all we got is spaghetti and spaghetti sauce left. I don't know if we have any meats. Hopefully I can get some cold cuts, stuff like that. Well, it looks like we're at about 426. 426 exit is, Mahoney Street. State Park exit and the Strategic Air Command Museum exit. Someday I'm going to get to that Strat Museum. I'd been to it a couple times while it was in Bellevue. It was in a smaller building, much smaller building, and a lot of the aircraft were out on a tarmac, or actually an old runway there. And so you'd have to go outside and kind of roam around these things. Some of these aircraft had wasps and bee nests or whatever. For some reason, I remember somebody either getting stung by a bee or nearly getting stung by a bee. It was probably me or a wasp. Looks like we've got a rental car I'm passing here. So, whoa! Traffic is coming to a screeching halt here. Coming to a screeching halt. We are just east. I'm sorry, just west of the Platte River crossing. I wonder if I can get my CB out. See if I can get my CB out. Find out what's going on up here. I know there was an exit at, or an accident. Where the hell's my CB at? There was an accident at the, shit. I wonder if I can cross here. I wonder if I can play police car and go ahead and cross the interstate at this exit, or, get back out on that exit. I just hope we don't have a pile up here, that's all. Oh crap, it appears I got some power problem with my CB. Let's see if I can figure this out. How the hell did I get this thing apart? Aha, I do have a wire loose here. I do have a wire loose here. I need to find an ink pen. Ground wire was loose. Last night there was a pretty tragic accident right here at the same, basically the same location, just on the other side of the bridge. Some sort of folks from a veterans home rolled a van. still working on my CV here, getting my wiring straightened out. There's a couple of cars in the median here. Trying to get back on the other way. There's a semi here, he just pulled right over. Times like these where I wish I had a Coke or something. It is hot. Hopefully my car won't overheat. I'm over 200 degrees now. I hate it when the traffic comes to a screeching halt on the interstate. Usually I'm not paying that much attention. I'm kind of on autopilot. And things come to such a quick stop that I'm darn near skidding. I did get the CB up and running, but I shouldn't say up and running, but I got it powered up, but I don't have any volume of any sort. That semi that was sitting there moved over to the right. It's trying to, get over to the left. This thing had a problem. I could stop and spray out the contact pot, or the pots here. Hell, I really could do that. Boy, we're really going to have some problems here. There's going to be some folks that run out of, I shouldn't say run out of gas, but run out of water. They're going to overheat. It's 92 here. I'm well over 200 degrees. And, you know, I don't need to overheat. Just kind of idling down the road here. I don't see anything up ahead. Maybe I'll turn on the radio.
A brand new 2006 Mitsubishi Eclipse.
I don't hear anything there. It's a commercial for some Mitsubishi Eclipse. I wonder if, switch it over to AM, see if they've got anything. A nice looking Honda. There's a Camry, a white Camry. Boy, here's the guy in the rental car. Hopefully he makes it to the airport on time. Bet you wasn't planning on having to deal with this. I bet you he wasn't planning on having to deal with this. Stop there. Now we're going to be moving here again. Go ahead and stop this, and I'm going to see what everything sounds like right now, and be right back in a second. Yeah, this is me. I'm back again. I went ahead and turned on the radio, and put it on KFAB 1110, and they just so happened to have a traffic update, and basically it was the same accident that I knew about an hour ago, and they announced their traffic line, and I went ahead and gave them a call to find out what was going on, if there was another accident or what. That number, if you're going across Nebraska or in the Omaha area, I guess, between Lincoln and Omaha, or just about anywhere in the region, I would think, Nebraska region, 551-2277. That's KFAB's traffic line. If you want to report something, or if you want to find out what's going on, they'll let you know. So, put on a hat here. Should actually call the wife. I'm just about to the river. That's going to be hot going over the river. Too bad I don't have anything to drink here. So, gone down a degree. It's 92. Still hotter than hell. Man, I wish I would have known that was blocking up traffic. They didn't say anything about it blocking up traffic. I wonder if that was probably on the 10. It's Tom Becca. Actually moving a little bit faster here. I'm going about 15 miles an hour. I'm across the bridge. I wonder if something broke loose up there at Gretna. And let's see, we're still probably another 5 miles up. Wow, we're actually crossing the bridge here. We'll go ahead and roll up the windows. Wonder if things have actually opened up a little bit. Looks like I see brake lights up ahead of me again. Looks like we're slowing back down, but I did get across the bridge fairly fast. Hopefully I'm not getting a whole lot of crackles and pops in this. Wow, this is like my second crash cast. Let's see, what else? And we're going slow again. I just crossed over a slough or something there. Well, I'm actually going about 25 now. Here's one of the bluffs. Used to be a place called Nebraska right around here. I remember there used to be a billboard up in the hills, or up in the hill here. There's one big hill. It's probably actually a sand dune. And actually, I bet you I know what happened. People are going too fast through some of this construction and crashed into the construction. I just went around where that slough was and to where I'm now. There's actually a pretty good curve on the interstate. And before I started traveling back and forth between Lincoln and Omaha, it was one of my... Let's see what's... We had a traffic check there again, but we didn't. But anyway, I really hated going around that darn corner. It seemed like it was an awfully sharp corner for that speed, especially when they turned up the speed limit to 75. I would usually slow down if I was going to the airport or Omaha or something like that between, from Lincoln or whatever. We're actually kind of cruising here about 35 miles an hour. So maybe things are clearing up, isn't it? Traffic on the other side of the road is pretty packed up too. Pretty tight, pretty dense. While I'm up to 50 here again, maybe they've actually got that cleaned up. And there's that Honda again with the blonde in it. It's a different blonde than what I saw this morning. Pretty, yeah, she doesn't have the baby in the back. Okay, we're heading about straight north now, and then we're going to go ahead and turn east again, kind of northeast, actually going through a speed limit change. there. I just clicked in at 60 miles an hour for my cruise control. Right here, they've been taking dirt or earth from, I guess, the north and west side of the road, and I think they've been hauling it over to the opposite side of the road. I think that's going to be the new roadbed. We had another traffic check. I wanted to see if my report got put up on there. Let's see here. I can actually see kind of east here. Here we got another commercial coming up. Here we're actually to the point where it switches over to a newer road. Hey, asshole. Great, now I gotta eat your shit. That semi that was jacking around pulled over into my lane. Give him a bump in the ass, he probably wouldn't feel it. No, what they got here is, I don't know if it's right here, but eventually up here, everybody will be on the south side of the road, eastbound and westbound traffic, and then they have these cement barriers running down the middle of the freeway or the interstate. And I'm wondering if somebody didn't punch into one of those things. You know, we're not that far from that exit now. Let's see if I can find a mile marker here. 432 is the mile marker. There's a car that stopped. Corolla. Nobody's in it anymore. I wonder if that's where the accident was. Flasher's on. He probably overheated. We're going back up again in speed, about 45. I pull over in the right lane. Well, of course, everybody slams on the brakes when I go into the right lane. Traffic seems to be moving pretty good now. Well, everybody's coming down to a halt again. Boy, we've got to be within a mile or two. We're actually going northeast here. We're actually going to go probably straight east and then turn back and go northeast again. We're kind of going cattywampus here, north and east between Lincoln and Omaha. And, anyway, man, it's too bad they don't have some of these gates open for these trucks. You know, I missed one back there. I should have just took that gate and got off and went around all this crap. I don't know what I was thinking. Man, I should have done that. And my luck, I would have got a ticket or something. I was a patrol officer over there right before the bridge there, right where I basically came to a stop. There was a patrolman there, making sure nobody, I guess, crossed the median or used. There was actually a turnaround point there. Nobody used the turnaround point. Oh, man, I wonder if we're going to get any good rubbernecking in here. We're to the sign that says exit 432. Means we're within about a mile of that exit. And I don't see any accident here yet. Flying J truck stops here. I think Trucker Tom has spent a night there. Well, probably within the last month. From a trip back from Denver area. Not sure why he came all the way to the Flying J. I think he had to spend the weekend. He drove probably 80, 90 miles, maybe closer to 100 miles out of where he was going to make his drop. Maybe he just wanted to use that Wi-Fi there at the Flying J. I'm trying to think if there's a Flying J out west somewhere there. I know there's a Big Sap Brothers, and there's... I should take that back. That's not Sap Brothers. So the Bosselmans there at Grand Island, that's pretty popular with the truckers. It's kind of a halfway point, I guess, between Omaha and North Platte. There's some smaller truck stops. There's one at Odessa. There's another one out there further west of Odessa. I'm not sure where exactly that is. probably between Lexington and Kearney. I'm trying to think if Kearney's actually got something there. I don't think they do. The Odessa exit, which would be the next exit, I believe, down the interstate from Kearney. They have a Stop Brothers there, a real small one. Kind of got some memories behind that place. Boy, I'm at the exit here. I still don't see an accident. I'm at that exit and I still don't see an accident. Well, I'm going way back here now. Maybe if somebody's been with me on some of these things, which I doubt if they have actually are going to be listening to this cast, but you never know. There's a guy named, I think his name was Kenny. Was it Kenny? I think it was Kenny. And Kenny was a few years younger than me. Good looking guy. I'm not sure if he ever went to college or not. He just graduated high school about a year or two. Probably about a year out of high school. Just graduated, and there's a car with the funny wheels again. And he was working a job, and his job was, maybe I should back up some more. There's a couple guys, Chris and Pat, that they lived in the dorms. I really can't remember if it was one semester. It's probably the second year. I think Chris showed up the second year. Pat showed up. I think it was the second semester of my second year. They went ahead and got an apartment. They didn't want to live on campus anymore. They wanted to drink when they wanted to drink, raise hell when they wanted to raise hell, and didn't want to have some den mother looking after them. So they got an apartment, and part of the deal there is they also got a roommate. They put an ad out for a roommate. They had some more room there for a roommate. And that roommate's bedroom consisted of basically the utility room, or the room that housed the furnace, which was kind of crazy if you ask me. The other two guys, I think they actually had doors on their rooms and actually had some pretty nice rooms. It was a basement apartment. Oh, I can't remember the street that, 25th Street maybe, 26th Street? And they were a street off the main street there off of Highway 30, kind of on the west side of Kearney, before you got to the university, kind of a barn-shaped looking house. And I think this guy's name was Kenny. Could be wrong, but anyway, he lived there, and he had a job, and his job was overnight cook at the Odessa Sap Brothers, and I think he worked Saturday nights and maybe Friday nights. Some nights he actually had time to party, so, you know, he partied with us, and, you know, the nights that he wasn't partying with us, he said, hey, come on out to Sap Brothers, and I can hook you guys up with some food. So every once in a while we go out there in the middle of the night and go get some food and listen to the truckers do their thing. Now we are past, maybe traffic's just slowing down. Actually, the traffic going the other way stopped now. I don't know why. And let's see what else. Also, that second year there, there was a couple gals. One of them was, I can't remember. One of them's name, one of the girls' names was Amy, and I think Nob was with her. And she had a really good-looking friend from Ceresco or Valparaiso. I can't remember her name. She was a redhead. But I remember Nob was another guy that kind of ran with us. Chris and Pat. I think he was my roommate, I think, actually, at that time, and we still lived on campus, and so was back in 92 when Clinton was elected. Was it 92? Yeah, it had to be 92. When Clinton was elected, and it was Clinton, Perot, and Bush. Well, I don't know what's going on the other way, but traffic's backed up the other way now. I should have took the back roads today. So anyway, now I've hooked up with this one gal, and they were kind of, you know, I suppose, bumping nasties and stuff like that. But I remember that he'd gotten a Trans Am with a huge engine in it, like a 400 or 450. It was basically the Smokey and the Bandit car. I don't think he had the T-tops. It'd been repainted black. It didn't have the Phoenix or Firebird or whatever it is decals on it, but it did haul some ass. And I remember we were out at Odessa, and this Amy, I think her name was Amy, kind of had one of her womanly moments and freaked out about something, and she took off running out of the damn truck stop and said, oh, screw it, you know, let her walk off, she ain't gonna get home. And eventually we came across her. She was fucking around on the overpass. I had to yell at her to get her ass back in the car. She shouldn't be running around on a damn interstate in the dark. She's gonna get killed. I remember that. I remember, I should tell you the truth, I don't know. I've been down that road a few times. In the light, the interstate, but I've never been down Highway 30, I don't think, during the day. It's always been at night, so I couldn't really tell you what's out there. But there was another episode. Oh, what was it? It had to be homecoming there at the University of Kearney. And Pat was kind of a wild child, and I'm sure he dropped out. I don't know whatever happened to him. I've never been able to track him down. Probably incarcerated somewhere. Or in another country. He was kind of a wild child. He was adopted by an older couple, and he grew up, I think, outside of Bertrand, Nebraska. And I'm not sure what his dad did, if his dad was some sort of businessman or owned his own business or inherited a lot of money, but it seemed like Pat's mom and dad, I think his dad was like 76 or something. His dad's probably dead by now. This has been over 10 years ago. But his mom was a nice gal, nice lady, nice older lady, and I don't think I ever met his dad. You know, the kind of couple you see that are retired and drive around in Cadillacs and stuff like that. And anyway, Pat had rebuilt, I don't know what year it was, but it was a Mustang, and he basically had it built up as a dragster. He had the big engine. I don't know if it had a blower on it or if it just had the air cleaner sticking out of the top of it. It had big pipes along the sides. Painted up really nice. And when he graduated high school, one of the things they did is they bought him a 1992. This was, had to be 1992. 91, 92. Had to be 92. And then brand new 1992 5.1. Red Mustang, and it also had the nice Blaupunk, or was it a Polk Audio? I don't remember exactly. It was Blaupunk stereo in it with the subs. Awesome, awesome stereo. Awesome little car. Had the 5-speed in it. I actually got a chance to drive it a couple times around town. Awesome car. But anyway, during this homecoming thing, he was supposed to go to homecoming with one of his assorted girls. I call them girls because I don't think they were out of high school yet. But he was going to go to homecoming with one of these gals. I think her name was Sherry. He also had another girlfriend, and I can't remember what her name was. Becky or Bobby or something like that. And she was kind of a skank and lived on the east side of Kearney, southeast side of Kearney. But anyway, he was going to go to homecoming with a skank. Or, I'm sorry, not this skank. Actually, a pretty nice looking gal. There was a couple other gals that were with her, and the deal was, is he went, somehow he went and got his car that afternoon. He didn't have a license. He had lost it for speeding, and it had been suspended, and somehow his folks were out of town. He got back to the farm, farmstead or whatever, and got the car, brought it back to Kearney, went, did his thing at the dance or whatever, and then we were going to meet him about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at his mom and dad's house and kind of have a little satellite TV and a little bit of beer. So before that all happened, I can't put everything together exactly what happened. I think the Sherry actually had a car. I think she had a car. So anyway, before this, we had a scavenger hunt that afternoon with the fraternity. We were all in a fraternity. And I don't know who exactly was driving the Mustang around, but somebody was. And then later on that evening, we were pulling up to the dorms. And actually, we were going to leave. I think we were going to, Pat was going to get ready and go to his function with this gal. And there was a football game going on there. It was probably about 8:30. Football game going on, homecoming game there at the university. He decides to do a little power break action there in the parking lot while all these people are walking by. And of course, me and Nav are in the car. I don't think anybody else was in the car. I think we were fixing to hook ourselves up with some tall boys or something. And just starting to get dark. Does this little power break thing. There's smoke rolling and rising all over. It's like a crazy, crazy, crazy bonfire. Just crazy dragster type burnout. So we start heading down the, I guess, the aisle there of cars down through the parking lot. And almost get to the end. And here's the security guard running full blast right towards us with his little flashlight trying to shine on us. So what does Pat do? He stops the car, puts his high beams on to see what the hell that was, puts it in reverse. Smart about putting the high beams on, because what that did is it basically blinded the guy so he couldn't see any plates or anything. Packs the thing up, we haul ass out of the university, and we actually park the car up, oh, about a mile or so away in a residential area by a guy that we know. So we did that. So later on that night, then we waited around there, I suppose, a couple hours in the dorm watching TV or whatever. And there's a guy doing what I'm doing, sweating. So anyway, we decide to load up our tall boys and head out west towards Lexington. And well, I wonder if I could find that place. I bet you I could on a satellite map. I'm trying to think if I could find his mom and dad's house on a satellite. Maybe, maybe not. Satellite resolution may not be that clear there. But anyway, we're heading down the interstate. I got, I don't know, two cases, I think it was, of tall boys in my backseat. We're all underage, of course. And I'm kind of tired, but, you know, I'm really watching what I'm doing here. I don't want to get stopped with these two cases of beer and have to deal with an MIP or, you know, some cop giving me a lecture about beer or whatever, so we're going, and halfway between there and Lexington, there's flashing lights. Everything's coming to a stop. I'm thinking, oh my God. It's one of those dreaded checkpoints. And keep on rolling, keep on rolling. And what had happened is somebody drove a ORV, as my wife would call them, a recreational vehicle into the ditch there, and the state patrol was helping them get it out, and they just happened to get it out and turn back around straight. And so that was that. We kind of thought it was our fate there to get caught, but we didn't get caught. We got up to Bertrand and had a pretty good night that night. That run between Odessa and Kearney, we ran at night. It was actually, it was probably early morning, between 4 and 5 in the morning. I think we left at 3:30, 4 o'clock, tired as hell. I think I was running close to 100 miles an hour at some points in there. The speedometer on the car only went to like 80 or 90. I think it was 80. And I had that baby pegged. I think I was doing about 3,500 or 4,000 RPMs. So I was going at a pretty good clip in that Camaro. My 5-liter Camaro or a 305 Camaro. So there's a little college story for you about Kenny and Chris and